We're learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe. We are basically toward the end of chapter 7. The subject of chapter 7 is what is called Klipas Noiga, brilliant shell. That's the literal translation. That's the subject. And the Alter Rebbe explained that we're talking about an intermediate level. Actually, chapter 8 is going to talk about this a little bit more. And then by chapter 9, we're going to go really into understanding the psychology of a Beinoni, of an intermediate person. But we are by the end of chapter 7. It's an intermediate level. What does that mean, intermediate level? You have Kedusha, holiness. You have impurity. Gimel, Klipas HaTmeis, three levels of impure shells, whatever that means. And you have an intermediate level. When you use the intermediate level for a good purpose, it gets elevated into Kedusha, into holiness. When you use it for bad, evil purposes and so on, it goes down into Klipa, into impurity. That's the level being described and explained in chapter 7. Now, the Alter Rebbe brought a few examples. One of the examples he brought was forbidden foods for Jews, foods. For non-Jews, the only forbidden food is Eivel Min HaChai, a piece of an animal that was cut from the animal or taken from the animal while the animal was alive. That's the only prohibition about food. Of course, if a person steals food from somebody else, you stole. It's not the problem. It's not eating over there. The problem is stealing. Now, that's one example he brought. Then he brought another example of forbidden relationships that, even though we're not going to go into details, there are many forbidden relationships for Jews and also for non-Jews. There are forbidden relationships. That's one of the seven universal commandments and so on. That's complete impurity. And then the Alter Rebbe, by the end, right before going into what we're going to start learning, the Alter Rebbe spoke about Zera Levatala. Zera Levatala means when a man, this doesn't apply to a woman, when a man does masturbation and doesn't go into a woman. That's what it means, basically. Just out of pleasure and feeling pleasure and so on. And even though some doctors say this is a very important and good thing to do for men and so on, by Judaism is completely forbidden. We don't do this. It's arguable whether it is forbidden for Bnei Noach also or not. It's a big argument. What's the big argument based on? Whether Bnei Noach are obligated in having children or not. If you're going to say that a non-Jew is obligated to have children, so he cannot do this. He's forbidden to masturbate and so on. But if you're going to say that a non-Jew is not it's not obligated to have children, if he wants, he can. If he doesn't want, it's not a problem. You could say that he's allowed to masturbate and so on. But it's a big discussion. It's not so easy. It has to be done with sources and explaining why this opinion says this and why the other opinion says that and so on. But we're learning Tanya, and Tanya is written for Jews, as we explained many times. We're trying to adapt the ideas for non-Jews, but basically it's written for Jews. So the Alter Rebbe doesn't go into this argument because for Jews it's forbidden. Point. Now, let's go into the text now. We're basically in page 24, by the end of chapter 7. V'lochem, therefore, he's talking about how to do tshuva, repent from different transgressions, including this transgression of Zera Levatala, the seed of man going out into nothing for lost, so to speak. This is the reason why this part is like difficult to understand the language. We'll see. I'll try to explain as best as I can. That's why it's not mentioned in the Torah, the sin of wasted seed together with the forbidden relationships. In Parshas Acharimois, in Parshas Kedoshim, you have a whole list of forbidden relationships for Jews. A whole list with the mother, with the sister, and so on. But over there, you don't have a mention of wasted seed. It doesn't say anything about it. The only place where it's mentioned actually in the Torah, and it's not even mentioned clearly, it's just mentioned in a alluded way, is by Erbe Oinon. in Parshas Vayishlach, I think it is, Parshas Vayishlach, the story of the children of Yehuda, Er ve'Onan, they got a wife. Actually, Er was the oldest one. He got a wife. Tamar was a very beautiful woman. And he basically didn't want her to get pregnant, so he wasted his seed. And he passed away. And then came Oinon. Same thing happened. He passed away. So from there, we see that there is such a thing as wasting seed. It's a bad thing. They passed away. But it doesn't say, this is forbidden. Therefore, this is forbidden, and so on. It doesn't say such a thing. And we know, it's actually one of the rules of understanding the Torah, that when a particular action is forbidden, it has to be clearly written, clearly said, you cannot do this. And not just that, it has to be said, not just don't do this, rather also, if you do this, you're going to get this punishment. It's two verses usually, two places in the Torah, not necessarily in the same parsha, but it has to be both. Don't do this, and if you do this, you're going to get this punishment. Okay, by this wasting seed, it doesn't say such a thing. Af, continues Alter Rebbe, Shechomur mehem v'godel avoynoi v'vichinas agatlus v'ribu yatuma v'yaklipis shemoylid u'marbe me'oid me'oid v'zazer levatal. It's like a very long phrase. Yoyser, I'll translate in a second. Yoyser mebiyas asureis. Even though, here's the difficult part, even though that is very terrible, so to speak, wasting seed is worse than forbidden relationships, and the sin is very big, says the Alter Rebbe. God elavoinei, his sin is very big. In which aspect? In the aspect of the greatness, so to speak, and how much quantity of impurity and klipois and the shells, whatever, that a person gives birth to. A lot of impurity when he wastes his seed, more than in forbidden relationships. So over here we have two aspects, and this is the complicated part. You have quantity and quality, two different things. In quantity, zera levatala, wasting seed, is much worse than forbidden relationships. In quality, no, forbidden relationship is much worse than wasting seed. But in quantity, forbidden relationship is not as hard as zera levatala, wasted seed. And in quality, wasting seed is not so terrible as the forbidden relationships. That's the as if we had like a table, you have to compare both ideas, quantity and quality, which one is worse. Rak continues El Treve. Shebebiyo is asurois. When you're talking about forbidden relationships, Moisif koyach v'chayis v'klipa t'meya b'yoyser. A person that does this, God forbid, is adding strength and vitality in a much more impure impurity. At she'ein yachol lalez misham achayis b'tshuva, to the point that you cannot elevate from there the energy by doing tshuva. In the last page, actually in the previous class, we saw that the Rebbe brought down the idea of when a person says kriyas shema shalamita, reciting the shema before going to sleep, if you do it with kavana atzuma, said the Rebbe, like great concentration, you can do tshuva, you can repent for wasting your seed. But over here, when a person had forbidden relationship, how much more so when a baby was born out of that relationship, what are you going to do, tshuva? Repent, you have to kill a person. It's not so easy. It's not so simple. Now, there's a small note by the Alter Rebbe himself. The note says like this, Mipnei shenikleta b'yesid denukva deklipa. This is pure Kabbalah. Because in the case of forbidden relationships, the impurity got absorbed in yesoid de nukva. What does that mean? Yesoid means literally fundament. That's what it means, fundament. But it's in the configuration structure, so to speak, of the soul that we spoke about in chapter 3. In the structure of the soul, yesoid means the member where man and woman become one. and represents usually pleasure, the power of pleasure that a person has. For instance, very simple example, when a teacher has to teach a class to a group of students, if he doesn't enjoy teaching, if he doesn't enjoy being there, even if he's a great sage of the subject he's teaching, forget it, it's not going to happen. Children are going to see this, feel this, and they're not going to learn because he doesn't want to be there. That's yesoid, fundamentally, which means connection. In this particular case, of course, men and women get connected in one particular member of their body and so on. In this case, he's saying about forbidden relationships. Then the klipa, the impurity, the seed, basically, this, not the klipa, the seed, I'm sorry, that the men put into the woman got absorbed by her. So there's a recipient of this seed. Hamekabeles vekoiletes achayus mehakedusha, that receives, the woman receives and absorbs the energy from sanctity. So the man was over there and she was over there also, and he put his seed into her. It was a forbidden relationship. It shouldn't have happened, but it happened anyway, whatever. And she absorbed this. So we are talking about, in quality, a very hard sin, has death penalty for both men, for him and for her. And she absorbed this impurity, and that's it. That's the end of the story, so to speak. Ma she'ein ken bezera levatala, which is not the case with wasted seed. She'ein sham mechinas nukva de klipa. There's no woman over there. There's no recipient. It just gets wasted. The air, whatever. Rak she'koychisev chayelusev malbishim lechayis betipet ki yadua yadichoch minister. Only there's strengths of evil, so to speak, and an army of evil angels or whatever, that they wear, so to speak, they become close to these garments, to this energy that is in the seed, as it's known for those who learn Kabbalah. Okay, we're not going to learn Kabbalah now. But the Altareb is explaining what's the difference between these two actions, wasting seed and forbidden relationships. In wasted seed, there's no recipient. In forbidden relationships, there is a recipient. And that itself makes it in quantity be less hard than wasted seed. But in quality, it's terribly more hard. Nobody's going to kill anybody for wasting seed, but there's death penalty for forbidden relationships. So we have this difference between these two actions. Elaim ken yase tshuva me ahava rabba kol kach, unless this man and woman that had this forbidden relationship do tshuva in such a way, this is brought down in Talmud at the end of Yuma, in such a way with a tremendous love for God, Ahava Rabba, profound love for God, to the point that even the intentional sins become merits for the person. This is a very special and elevated level of tshuva, that a person feels so far from God because of what he did, or she did, whatever, that becomes like a springboard. Yes, I want to be closer to God because I realize how far I am from him. So these doinos, the things that a person did on purpose, become actually merits. Uvaze yuva may marazal. And on this, with this, we're going to understand what our sages say. Eizu mehavot shelo yuchal liskoin. Tell me, what are the sins, say our sages in Talmud, what are the sins that a person cannot fix? There are certain things you cannot fix. Forget it. Over. Game over. Ze shebal erba ve'elid mimamzer. I'll give you an example, says the Talmud. A person that had relationships with a forbidden woman and beared a child. But if you do tshuva, the child is there. It's not going to die. Because you did tshuva? Forget it. You can't fix this. That's what the Rebbe says. She'az gamim yase tshuva gdoi lekol kach, that in that case, there's a person over there, bastard is called, whatever, mamzer. There's a person over there walking and so on. Even if you do tshuva, a great level of repentance, yepshar loy la'aleis achayiz likidusha, you cannot elevate the energy to sanctity. You have to kill this guy. No, that's not possible. So what are you going to do? מאחר שכבר ירדה לעולם הזה. Why can't you elevate this impurity? Because it came down into this world when it's lav shebeguf basar v'dam, and it got invested into a body, flesh and blood. So you can't do tshuva on this. That's it. Okay, that was chapter 7. Klipas Noiga, that's the general subject of the chapter. Perek Ches, chapter 8. Ve'oid zeiz b'machalis asurois. There's another problem in the forbidden foods for Jews, as we explained before. Lekach nikrein b'shem isur. I'll explain to you why they're called forbidden isur, as we explained before in chapter 7 also, the idea of osur, something that is tied to impurity. Mipnei she'av, mi she'ochal ma'ichal isur b'lo yehoida l'shem shemayim. This is very technical. Even a person that ate a forbidden food without knowing, I didn't know this was forbidden, I just ate. L'shem shemayim, and I ate it for the sake of heaven. What does it mean to eat for the sake of heaven? La'avod Hashem bekoyach achila ahi, to serve God with the strength of that food. That's why I ate. I have strength to be sitting and learning and so on. Vegam po'al ve'asaken, and to the point that a person actually did this. He learned and he prayed and so on with the strength of that particular food. But the food was forbidden. He didn't know. Vekara ve'ispalel bekoyach achila ahi, and he learned and he prayed with the strength of that particular food. However, ein chayus sheba oilo mislabeshet zeteves atoyre veatfila kemo yaheter. However, says the Rebbe, the strength in that particular food doesn't get elevated and invested in the words of Torah that he learned and the prayer that he prayed and so on like a permitted food. Why not? Because this food, we said, it's a forbidden food. It's tied, attached, so to speak, imprisoned in the hands of the other side. From the three impure klipos, shells. So, how can you say, like we explained in chapter 7, klipas noiga, an intermediate level. If you use it in a good way, so it gets elevated to Kedusha. What does that mean? I have a piece of meat, and it's a good piece of meat. I mean, it's kosher, you can eat it, and so on. As the Alter Rebbe brought from the Talmud, I can't answer you this question until I eat a good beef, a good piece of meat. Okay, so the rabbi ate a good piece of meat. Now answer my question, and he answers the question properly. So that means that this, the chayus, the livelihood of that particular piece of food, meat, got elevated into Kedusha, was used to answer a question in Torah. Good, that's good. But over here, that doesn't happen in chapter 8. Why not? Because this was forbidden food. And even though the rabbi, so to speak, lived with this food because he ate and now he has strength and so on, but the energy of that food doesn't get elevated into Kedusha, into holiness. No way. Why? Because it's tied into impurity. Tied to impurity. And even if you're talking about a rabbinical prohibition, many, many prohibitions are only rabbinical. Even in that case, the energy does not get elevated into Kedusha. Why? Into holiness. Because the words of our sages are even more harder than the words of Torah itself, are more important than the Torah itself. Actually, the Torah itself says you have to follow what our sages say. So if our sages say something, you have to follow it. And therefore, the energy of that food, if it was a forbidden food, it doesn't get elevated into Kedusha. Even if you used it for Kedusha, for holiness. This is quoting the Zohar. Therefore, the Yetzer Hara, the bad evil inclination, and the power of willing, desiring, forbidden things, it's a shade. Shade, the translation is like a demon. Shade in Nuchroim, non-Jew demon. Okay, demons are not Jews and not non-Jews. That doesn't make any sense. The Zohar is talking over there about different types of demons. We will see later in the chapter itself, Jewish demons and non-Jewish demons. What does that mean? Again, demons are not born by man and woman, and don't have a Jewish mother, and don't get converted. Forget it. What is he talking about? It's talking about what these quote-unquote demons, spirits, or whatever, what's their task? What's their job? If their job is to take the person to do something forbidden, we call it a non-Jew demon. If it's not a forbidden thing, we'll see he's going to call it a Jewish demon. The Zohar says this, not the Alter Rebbe. Okay, let's go again. So, over here we have a Yetzer Hara. We have an evil inclination. And then the Alter Rebbe quoted something that he didn't mention it before. It's called Koyach HaMisaveh. Every single human being, without exception, has a strength, a power to desire things. And it's a normal thing. If a person, God forbid, doesn't have any desires in life, it's done. That's it. You want to eat? No, I don't want to eat. You want to go see this movie? No, I don't want. That's it. It's gone. So we need desires. We live on desires. Even good desires. You want to learn Torah? Yes, I want to learn Torah. Okay, that's a good desire. But at the end of the day, it's a desire that a person has. And we all have a koyach, a certain strength, a certain power within the soul to desire things. Some people desire with more strength, some people with less strength, and so on. But the point over here is that the koyach misave is not good or evil. The power to desire things is not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a powerful desire. If you orient it into a good thing, so you're going to desire good things. If you orient it to bad things, so you're going to desire bad things. Over here, you have a strength desiring dvarim asurim, forbidden things. Why? Because it's influenced by sheidin nuchraim, by these demons that are quote-unquote non-Jews. What does that mean? Yetzer hara shel umayseb di gilulim. This is exactly the same thing as the bad, evil inclination of the non-Jews, of the nations that do idolatry. That their souls, as we explained before in chapter 1 actually, come from, at the end of chapter 1, come from the three impure shells and so on. That's the Yetzer Hara of a regular idolater. Is he talking about a regular Ben Noyach, Bas Noyach? No. We explain this by the end of chapter 1. Ma she'enkin ha-Yetzer Hara ve-Koyach ha-Misaveh de-Dvarim ha-Mutarim, which is not the case with the evil inclination and the power for the desire of permitted things. But why do you desire Lemale Istavase? Because I just want to have this passion of mine and so on. Why do you eat? I eat because I love food. Okay. So you have a problem. We eat because otherwise we can't function. You don't eat because you love food. So in this case, this person desires. Food is just an example. It's an easy example. And what does he desire? Passions. I just desire because I love having my passions. Okay. That's called a shade, Mishadin Yehudain. That's called a Jewish demon. Jewish demon. So in the case of a non-Jewish demon, he wants forbidden things. And don't forget, he's talking about Jews. He's not even talking about non-Jews. He's talking about Jews. A Jew has inside of him a quote-unquote non-Jew demon. What does that mean? I desire forbidden things. And a Jew also has inside of him, or her, whatever, a Jewish demon. What does that mean? I desire permitted things, but just because I like it. Not because I want to serve God with the strength of the food. No. I just like food. Okay, that's a Jewish demon. That's how it's brought down in the Zohar. Why is it called a Jewish demon? Because that can be actually elevated into holiness, as we explained before. Because food is permitted, mutar, it's untied, it's not tied to klipa, to impurity and so on. Therefore, when a person does tshuva, he actually ate, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it in different order. He actually ate just to fulfill his passion. Not for the sake of God, of godliness or anything like that. But since what he ate was allowed to be eaten, therefore he can do tshuva and that's it. You repent and you fix it, so to speak. But when the person ate something forbidden, and the Alter Rebbe is going to explain this later, we're going to see this next class, but the Alter Rebbe explains, when a person eats something forbidden, it becomes part of your body. And how do you do tshuva? You have to cut your body? No, that's part of your own flesh. So the Alter Rebbe is going to explain. But the point over here is to show the difference between these two types of evil inclination within ourselves, for forbidden things or for allowed things, but for a bad motivation, so to speak, just to fulfill my own passions.